I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Help I Suck at Dating. I'm Jared Haven, as always, joined by Dean Unglert on the other side of the country. Tori's not with us today. We have Easton, which is a nice little surprise. Easton, how are you, first and foremost? We haven't heard from you in like 4 years.
I'm great. You know, I've been a listener to this show for the last couple weeks, and it's been really fun. You guys do a good program. You know, it's been fun seeing it from a different perspective, but it's nice to be back.
Do we have to pay you to say that?
Yeah.
No, I'm a fan. I have it subscribed on my apps. You know, I'd listen. I'm one of those downloads, one of the many thousands of downloads.
Listen, Easton, we get it. You are basically a main staple of Scrubbing In with Becca Tilly and Tanya Rad now. So we appreciate you jumping over and putting some of that sprinkle on to Help I Suck at Dating.
Yeah, get us some Scrubbing In listeners, bro. Post on your Instagram. They'll come over.
Do you know something, though? Whenever I do post on Instagram, do you have any DMs I get saying, what are Dean and Jared really like? I get that all the time, I swear to God.
I got to say, Easton, for Father's Day, did some Father's Day shout-outs to his father. I was shocked by him. He looks like a stern military man. And I guess I never really pictured what your father would look like, but it wasn't that.
Yeah, he's a lot larger than me. For everyone listening at home, I'm, you know, 6'5", 200 pounds. I'm ripped. Yeah. I'm very thin, and my dad is very large. He's a bodybuilder, and he's a police officer, and he's a very intimidating person.
Did you ever want to get into bodybuilding more, working out, sports, maybe becoming a police officer like your dad?
You know, I go through periods where I would lift weights a lot and then I would stop, but my heart's not in it, you know. So you really got to be into that thing to make it work. And I was going to be a police officer for a very long time. I was studying it in school and everything because I had no direction and I thought I could just do that. But then I got bit by the radio bug and I never looked back.
And I think it's worth noting, you pointed out in your Instagram stories that your father was in the service for 30 years and didn't discharge his firearm once, which is pretty cool.
Not once. I think he pulled it a couple times, but he never fired it. He's very proud of that. And he thinks that, I don't know, I don't want this to get too serious, but, law enforcement has a big problem and always has with escalation of force and learning how to deal with tense situations where violence might happen. And he always felt that officers go too quickly to something that is, potentially going to leave someone very injured or possibly dead. So the last couple weeks have been very frustrating for him as a former officer. And it's just interesting to get his take on the change that we're seeing in the country.
Yeah. I can only imagine. Well, on a lighter note, Jared, how are you doing over there?
Yeah.
I'm doing well. Easton, just to bounce off that really quickly, that's pretty cool to hear about your father's opinion. I feel bad that, you know, he is a police officer and, you know, has to kind of look introspectively at his fellow officers. But it's pretty pretty stand-up-ish about your father's opinion. But doing well, I don't know. I feel like I'm starting to lose it over here a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I just feel like I don't have motivation to do anything. I don't want to work out anymore. As you can see, I still have my bandana on. That's giving me a little motivation. Do you guys find that when you lack motivation working out, you like put on a shirt that makes you feel stronger, or like a bandana, or like, I don't know. I guess it's kind of music similar. Like if I listen to a particular song, that gets me in the mood. But for some reason, shirts and like working out attire gets me in the mood too. I don't know. I'm weird like that. But other than that, yeah, just pretty bored. Knock on wood, staying healthy. Everybody's healthy over here. Not really sure what we're going to be doing for the near future. I think we're going to head back to LA at some point because, that's where all our stuff is. But that's where we're at, man. That's where Ashley and I are at. We're doing well. If the worst thing I can complain about is losing my sanity a little bit, then I have nothing to complain about.
Right. If you're only complaining about a bandana, then things are pretty good, it sounds like.
But Dean, how the hell are you? You've lost like 10 pounds. And I mean that because you have no more hair on the top of your head.
Yeah, all off the top of my head. I'm bald. Well, I'm not really bald anymore, but I've got very short hair.
It looks really good. That's, you're just a very good-looking human being.
You really are.
In the middle of that sentence, which makes me think you were being a little inauthentic, but it
doesn't I swear to God.
I had expected it to, so I'm okay with it.
Dean, you know that I think you're the best-looking male I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, but I hear you say the same thing to Nick, same thing to Ben and Chris and Tanner. So I just take it with a big grain of salt. I appreciate it.
I definitely haven't told that to Tanner.
I need the ego boost. But yeah, bald life has been pretty good. You know, my head is adjusting. It's used to having this 10-inch long hair on it. So when I shaved it, it was, you know, so there was some dry skin. But that's all basically fixed itself. And yeah, it's going good.
So I just to... Because you posted on your Instagram, but we haven't talked to you since you cut your hair. So you haven't, how long was it since the last time you actually really cut your hair? And then why did you cut your hair?
It was October, maybe September of 2018 was the last time I actually like got that that high fade that everyone seems to get. And then I just started growing it out. And then, yeah, Kaylin and I decided we wanted to raise some money for a charity we believed in, a Black Lives Matter charity. And when I was thinking about it, I was like, initially, I was like, all right, $10,000 and I'll shave my head bald. I was like, nah, $10,000 is too easy. $20,000. And I was like, ah, that's like probably still too easy too. Let's make it like impossible and make it like $50,000. And then we organized this GoFundMe and we raised $47,000 in the first 24 hours. And then I woke up the next morning and I realized that I was going to have to shave my head bald because we had reached our fundraising goal literally in 36 hours, which blew my mind, but I was stoked to have to do it anyways. I was trying to find like ways out of shaving my head, like, oh, let's raise another $50,000 to keep Dean's hair and like stuff like that. But then I was like, you know what? That's a cop out. We set this as our goal. We hit our goal. And so now it's time to shave it all off. And honestly, like as much as I love my long hair, practically speaking, short hair is so much easier to like just work with. I don't wake up in the morning with like hair in my mouth. I'm not like eating eggs in the morning and like shoving yolk into my hair. And you know what I mean? Like, so the short hair is a little bit more practical, which is nice.
Eating eggs in the morning? Is there some sort of correlation between eating eggs in the morning and long hair?
Well, like I think about like a sunny side up egg when you're putting it in your mouth and like sometimes your hair gets in your mouth. Like that's what I'm saying. Like the hair was so long, it would like get in front of my mouth as I was like shoveling food into it. And then it would end up with the hair.
I used to have hair down to my shoulders in high school, and I worked at an amusement park. And I remember on my break one day, I was eating a deep fried Twinkie, and it was a windy day. And I went to take a bite, and it blew the hair right in the path of my mouth in the Twinkie. And so I got a big mouthful of just like curly, thick hair and deep fried Twinkie. And I was like, I got to change everything about this situation.
Yeah. It's something you never really consider when you have long hair, but then it starts happening, and you're like, okay, what's going on? And honestly, like showering is a lot easier now. I just jump in the shower. I don't have to worry about like my hair drying for an hour. I'm going to grow back out. I'm not going to cut it again for 2 or 3 years, but we did donate the hair to children with hair loss too. So it was kind of like a double whammy of donating the hair and having met our fundraising goal. So
did they accept it? Because I remember watching your Instagram and you said you were a little worried about that because it might have been too short to donate.
Yeah, they did. I don't know if they're actually going to use it or not, but we'll see. But yeah, now we're just on the growth train. I've been taking hair growing supplements.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it? Sugar Bear Hair?
No Sugar Bear Hair. But hey, Sugar Bear Hair, if you're listening to this, you guys want to like sponsor me for the next 2 years and be the catalyst to my hair growth, by all means, jump on board. Just be ready to open up the pocketbook, if you know what I mean.
So how much money have you guys raised?
We raised like $55,000.
Wow, that's awesome. Wow. Dean,
and that was only over a couple of days. We actually turned it off after a while because while we liked that people were donating, we also lotteried off like a camping trip with Kaylin and I, and we announced our winner the day that we shaved our head, and we kind of felt bad that people were donating thinking that they might still win the camping trip. So we closed donations, but we were happy with what we hit, and yeah, it was pretty cool. So yeah, that's it. That's why my hair is short. Now I'm growing my mustache back out.
It looks good. I like it. As one guy who has like kind of long hair now, my question for you is, Dean, when you had long hair, how many times, did you wash your hair?
I'd probably wash it like once a week.
Okay. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Ashley's not happy about that.
She wants you to wash it more.
She thinks at least 3 times.
Oh, wow. That's
like every other day. I think it's way too much.
That's too much. And honestly, like, the best it would look is like probably day 3 after washing it. So it's like, you don't even look your best until the 3rd day. So maybe twice a week, but that's pushing it.
I completely agree. It's like always in my face now, which is why I wear the bandana, even though I kind of look stupid. But I also feel like I kind of look like Tom Cruise in Rock of Ages, so I'm down.
Are you growing it out too, or what?
I mean, honestly, I just started growing out because, you know, 4 weeks into quarantine, I was like, all right, well, it's getting a little long, and I'm not getting a haircut anytime soon. And then 6 weeks went by, and then I was like, I was going to have Lauren, because Ashley's sister is now a certified hairdresser, and nice. She was going to trim it up. But I was like, I'll just grow it out until, you know, quarantine ends. And then, you know, 3.5 months later, we're still in there, you know, kind of. We're reopening, but we're still kind of in quarantine. And so I'm like, you know what? I might as well just grow it out, and then I'll just cut it at some point.
I could see that once quarantine's over and you're like back in LA and barbershops are open, you're going to like maybe not do it because you're going to miss it too much. That's what I hope for, at least.
I'm going to trim it, but I'm going to keep it, I think. I think I'm going to keep it long. Why not? I mean, one of us have to have long hair on this podcast, Dean. And if it's not going to be you, then, you know, I'll be the one.
It used to be Vanessa. Vanessa left us. Then it was me. Now it's not me anymore. So now it's got to be you.
I mean, Easton's got a nice chunk of hair over there, too, though. Do you plan on cutting it? You're just going to let it grow.
You know, I got mine cut in November 2019. That was the last time I cut it. And it's getting annoying, but I also kind of like it. So I don't know. I'm going to keep it for a while.
Yeah. Ethan has a whole different beast because he's got the curls.
Yeah.
I know.
Which I didn't have to deal with that. Jared, it doesn't look like you do either. I just had like some waves. But the curls, I don't even know. Like, I wouldn't even know where to begin maintaining that. That's just like a whole different beast.
You know, it keeps out of my face, which I appreciate because it goes up instead of down.
You want to know who you look like?
Who do I look like?
Oh, actually, okay. I was going to say Sideshow Bob.
All right, I get that a lot.
But now that I'm seeing you in the Zoom screen, you look a lot like David Dobrik.
Wow. I wasn't prepared for that. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Easton, really? I'm watching Easton on Zoom. He just got taken back, literally. You slid your chair back.
People think he's an attractive guy, right?
I think he's hot. Have you ever heard that before, that you look like David Dobrik?
I've never heard that before.
I'm getting heavy David DD vibes from you right now.
I get a lot of... Lil Dicky. People say I look like Lil Dicky a lot. And
David Dobrik. Okay, I can see that. He's a YouTuber.
Yeah, he's got a lot of followers. Yeah.
Who's the other guy you get?
Lil Dicky, who's a rapper.
You don't know Lil Dicky? He's Jared.
Listen, I'm an old soul. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know anybody anymore. It's so bad. I don't watch TV. I don't listen to the radio. I just like, I literally put a song on. I can't remember what song it was. Oh, it was Heartless by The Weeknd.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, man, I love this song. I just heard it. And Ashley's like, you just learned about this song? I'm like, yeah, isn't it like brand new? I watched the Pete Davidson special and it was on there. She's like, no, it's been out for a while. I'm like, oh, well. All right, Little Dicky. Sorry. Here we go. Oh, yeah, I see Little Dicky.
I'm still on the David Dobrik train. We got Tom Cruise, David Dobrik, and Brad Pitt from Fight Club all on the same podcast.
Oh my God, you do kind of look like Brad Pitt from Fight Club right now.
Same body, same chisel too.
Dude, that's bad.
Tyler Durden.
Anyway, this is such a guy's podcast so far right now. I'm sorry for all the women listening out there as we're talking about Fight Club and men's hair. Do you think girls like guys' hair longer or shorter?
Longer.
Longer, definitely, in my experience.
In my experience, too. I think there's almost no question. I think that a girl can see a man with long hair and think that if he has the patience to grow his hair out long, he's probably a good dude.
That's an interesting thought process.
Has that been something you guys have not struggled with, but in relationships, wanted your hair a certain way, but your like partner wanted it a different way?
Constantly. Ashley always trying to tell me how to dress, what my hair should look like. She tells me that I should look the way she wants me to look, because the only person that I should try to look attractive for is Ashley, which is just a terrible argument because I want my own confidence. Like, there are things that I think I look confident in. I'm trying to think of an example right now.
She makes a pretty good point, though.
I mean, you know, it's not a bad point.
I've talked about this before. Kaylin tells me I'm hot no matter what I do, which is like good and bad. It's great confidence boost. Yeah, hair long, great. Short hair, great. Mustache, fine. But fat, not fat, fine. You know, like in shape, out of shape. But I think it's breeding a little bit of complacency in me a little bit. And it's not striving me to hit the gym, like Jared was saying, as hard as I should be, I think. But you're right. As long as I think that your significant other is happy with the way that you look, that's basically what matters most.
I got news for you, Dean. and don't get too big of a head from this, but she's not wrong. I don't think even mustache, long hair, short hair, jacked or not jacked, I legitimately have not seen you. I've never looked at you and been like, Dean doesn't look good.
I really appreciate it. I feel like we should maybe start having this podcast more than once a week because this confidence boost is doing a lot for me right now.
That's what we're here for. We're just here to boost your confidence. All right, so you think that girls like long hair. The only reason I say that is because every time I post a picture of me in long hair, I get so many DMs of like, cut your hair.
Well, here's another thing too, is any guy can have short hair. All it takes is a pair of scissors or an electric razor to have short hair, but it takes time and effort to grow your hair out and patience, like I said earlier. So I think because theoretically on average, more men have shorter hair than they do long hair. That long hair kind of is like more of a an interesting thing because less people have it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I like the shaggy look better too. Like I like looking a little disheveled. I don't know why. I'm not a big pretty boy guy, you know?
Yeah, we're past the preppy boy phase.
I agree. So, all right. So you think long hair, do you think girls like facial hair or clean shaven better?
I think facial hair. What do you think?
I agree. 5 o'clock shadow, I think, is like...
The level of scruff that Easton has right now, I think, is that's ideal. Like short, but not too short, but not too long. But still, like, you know, you can see like the shadow, like the 5 o'clock shadow.
It looks like I've been working really hard. That's what I'm going for.
Right. And you're pulling it off. Like Jared, for instance, you grow that patchy cheek hair in. And I'm not making fun of you because I have what you have, but the toddler version of it. Like I'm like the 8-year-old to your like 17-year-old stubble. So I'm kind of bummed. I wish I could grow facial hair, but alas, it's just never been something I could do.
The reason I grow it out is because Keanu Reeves has patchy facial hair and he rocks it. So I'm like, bro, I just want to be more like Keanu Reeves. That's my goal in life. Do you think girls like dad bod better or jacked?
Dad bod.
Dad bod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not a big muscle guy either. I like athletic bodies. That's what Ashley told me too. This is weird, but whatever. I don't care. I'm secure in my sexuality.
You like athletic men? Like,
yeah, like I want my body to look like I play sports.
I wouldn't mind if I had to choose like a body to have in all of Bachelor Nation. Like I wouldn't mind Nick's body.
Yeah. Bastard's got a good body. That son of a bitch.
I would keep my nipples, but I would take the rest of his body.
Nipples? What do you have? Better nipples than Nick?
I think I do. I think my nipples are one of my more redeeming physical attributes.
You have great nipples, I have to say. There.
I'm not a fan of my nipples.
He's got a great bod. I wouldn't mind that bod. I just think sometimes people are born a little different, a little bit more chiseled than the rest of us, and Nick's one of those people. Granted, he works out a lot. What about you? If you could have anyone, any body in Bachelor Nation, whose body would you have?
I'd probably go with Nick. Tyler Cameron's got a good one too, that bastard.
Oh, yeah.
A couple good bods right there. Matt James, the new Bachelor, great bod. Very jealous. Just like anytime anybody has that like V look with the abs, you know, where they have a built-up chest, but then the V, because that's my problem right there. I still have like some fat around the waist, so when I put my bathing suit on, like it's a little muffin top-ish, and it's just like, damn it, I want to be able to wear swim trunks or shorts with no shirt and just like have that V, you know? That's a good look. Like Brad Pitt, you know, you would know in Fight Club.
You're absolutely right. I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right, well, let's move this discussion on. We do have to take a little break, but after the break, we have a guest on who created a dating app that surrounds, that's all about dogs, which sounds pretty amazing to me. So you're not going to want to miss it. But before we talk to her, let's take a quick break. Welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. We have a very special guest who's on the line right now. She is the co-founder of the dating app Dig, which is for people who live a dog-forward lifestyle. I'm not even single, but I love this dating app because anything with dogs is great. We have Lee Isaacson on the line. Lee, how are you? Thank you for joining Help I Suck at Dating.
I'm doing so great. Thank you guys for having me on. And I love you guys being dog people too.
Woo!
Woo!
I don't trust people who aren't dog people.
Yeah, that's kind of the point of the dating app.
That's true. So so tell us, Lee. So you are a co-founder of this dating app called Dig, which is, like we said, for people who have a dog-forward lifestyle. So why did you want to create a dating app that's surrounded about dogs? And then tell us about the experience on the app.
Sure. Well, it all started with my very single sister. You know, my sister was dating a guy who tried to be a dog person for her. But by the end of the relationship, he didn't want the dog in his apartment, or he'd put towels down on the couch so the dog didn't touch anything. And she said, I wish I just knew from the start that this wasn't going to work because of my dog. And like you said, we're talking about dog forward lifestyles for a reason. It's not just one thing you have in common. A dog means, you know, way more than just a pet. It's how you spend your money, how you spend your time, you know, how you travel, maybe how clean you keep your house. You know, a dog in the bed or out of the bed can be a huge deal breaker for people. And so when we were looking at dating apps and what we could do to change the world of dating, we said that you have to have this compatibility factor. And what's better than just a dating up with more dog photos and dog videos? So we knew it'd be a win-win.
I've got a question for you. So when you were describing that, you said something along the lines of, do you let your dog sleep in the bed with you? Do you, you know, let your dog do this or that? On the app, do you have to specify, like, my dog sleeps in a crate, my dog sleeps in the bed with me, my dog isn't allowed on the couch, like those types of small little nuances?
Yeah, we launched with just a very basic version of the app, but in about 3 weeks, we're giving you a lot more options to be able to include those details about each individual dog too. There's a lot of people on there with multiple. So we know every dog has their own personality, and some, you know, might not like other dogs. Maybe you want to get on Dig and find someone who doesn't have a dog and will just love your dog as much as you do. I have a dog that chases small dogs around until they collapse. And so I knew if I was single, I wouldn't want to find someone with a small dog. So you can search by size, temperament, and all sorts of other features.
It's pretty funny because when Caitlin and I first started fostering our dog Pappy, she was like, nope, he's not going to sleep in the bed with us. By the third night, sleeping in the bed with us every night, she was like, she just got a new couch. And she was like, stop letting Pappy up on the couch. By literally day two, she's like picking Pappy up and throwing him on the couch. It's just funny how things can change pretty quickly, especially with that kind of stuff. But I do agree with what you're saying. And a lot of people, I guess, don't take that into consideration because it's like your dog is obviously a big part of your life. Jared, I'm sure you can attest to that too. If you and Ashley weren't together, how much would you have to take into consideration what someone thought of your dog?
Oh, yeah. Lois is like my daughter. If you don't like Lois, you're out, baby. And you're out of the circle of trust and you're never coming back. Yeah. So you don't have to have a dog to be on the app. You just have to be a dog lover.
Correct. Yeah.
Interesting. So you can go on the app. I just feel like as a guy, I'm sure there's tons of guys who are like, jackpot, I'm just going to post this picture of myself with the dog and then just people are going to fall in love with me.
Well, you know, on other dating apps, people pretend to have a dog for that reason. Absolutely. So from the beginning on Dig, we wanted to make sure, even if you don't have a dog, that you were able to say, I am a dog lover. I'm looking for someone with a dog, or to get a dog with someone in the future. And actually, we were talking about Boston earlier. Boston's a great example of a city that doesn't have a lot of dog-friendly housing, especially for single room apartments and things like that. So you find a lot of people under the age of 30 are looking to date someone with a dog compared to other cities like LA or Austin that are much more dog-friendly, and you'll find people of all ages more with more dogs. So we've really learned a lot about the difference in dog lifestyles city by city doing this too.
Oh, LA is so dog friendly.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I feel like it's not. Coming from Denver, I feel like LA wasn't very dog friendly. Like, it was kind of challenging at first to even like find dog parks sometimes.
Well, you've got dog beaches in LA. You've got a lot of really cool, and you know, Denver's super dog friendly too, so they're hard to compare, but we've been really embedded in the dog business world. And so LA has one of my favorite places, the Urban Den Dog Retreat, where you can take your dogs and learn how to give them massages. We've set people up on dates there before. And so you can like wash your dogs together, but you know, go on hikes together, and they lead all these different things. So each city definitely has their own dog flair.
Well, the reason I say LA is so dog friendly, it was the first time I was introduced to dog shoes. I saw a dog walking down the sidewalk and he was wearing shoes, or she, I don't know, I shouldn't judge, but I was like, dogs have shoes out here? And then I thought this is the most LA thing I've ever seen in my entire life, but it is a pretty good idea. And then of course Lois has shoes now, cause you know, that's the kind of dog parent I am now. But also, so I was perusing the app a little bit, but obviously I'm married, so I can't really sign up for a dating app. So I saw pictures though. Some pictures I saw of just dogs, and then some pictures I saw of just humans with dogs, cause it kind of looked like there was a dog profile. So how does a profile get set up on Dig?
you log in and you say if you're looking for someone with a dog or without a dog or either. And then you can, if you don't have a dog, just fill out your own normal profile. If you do have a dog or multiple dogs, you've got sections for each dog. In the features that we're launching very soon, you'll be able to say a lot more about those dogs, search by different types of features and attributes too. Once you match with people, you're able to plan a dog-friendly date right from the app. So in the messaging area, you can search for dog-friendly locations, dog businesses near you, and suggest that as a date idea. We also show you different deals from different dog companies. And the idea with that is, you know, show up with a unique treat, win Pappy over from the start. That's how to put the idea.
I love it. I think it's great.
So do you have, I'm assuming you have a dog. How many dogs do you have, Lee?
I have one dog. She was my flower dog in our wedding recently.
Oh, so cute. Aww.
Penny. Yes. Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Do you guys ever plan on, obviously, look, we all love dogs, but is there any talk or any potential for like other animals? Like, look, I love parrots and I want to meet someone else that loves parrots too.
Are you ready to break some news on the Help I Suck at Dating podcast?
Yeah, let's hear it.
We are launching Tabby, the cat person's dating app.
Nice.
And we are doing that with the help of actual cat people. I'm not going to pretend that I am the understanding, you know, knowing all being of all animals, but we've got some really awesome cat influencers who will be leading Tabby, the cat person's dating app. We're launching on International Cat Day in August.
Nice. That's awesome. That's big news. You heard it here first, folks.
Yep.
You heard it exactly. TabbyDates.com coming in August, the cat dating app. So we have our dog dating app, Dig. Now we're going to have our cat dating app. And so Dig is out right now. People can go download it, sign up for it. But also there is a VIP version of Dig that is coming out in July, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And that'll have the additional features. But if you sign up for the basic version now, you'll get the VIP version for free when it comes out.
Very exciting. So make sure you guys all go out, download Dig right now, the dog dating app, if you're looking for somebody who loves dogs, if you're single, of course.
Yeah, you need to get off now that you've perused the app. We don't want anybody on there.
I didn't download it.
We're not breaking up relationships here.
No. I went to the app store. I was looking. That's where I saw the pictures, on the app store. I didn't download it. I almost did, though. I almost was going to ask Ashley, be like, listen, I just want to see, you know, this is for research purposes. But then I was like, I'm not even going to go down
just
this
for
road.
The dog photos, right? Just
what about like dog friend dates? Like, if let's say I'm in a relationship with a dog and I just want to like find another guy or girl, not looking for something romantic, that just wants to like take her dogs and like hang out with her dogs somewhere. Go on a hike, whatever it is. Do you guys have that option?
We don't have that option on the app, but we do throw dog-friendly events across the country. So we've thrown events in 17 cities now across the country. Some of them are speed dating with your dog events, which are kind of awesome. But most of them are just incorporating as many local rescues and dog businesses as possible. Picture it like a really fun trade show with 30 dog businesses giving you, you know, dog massages, treats, bandanas, all sorts of things, and you can meet other people. And those are not usually singles events. They're just ways to hang out with your dog and have a beer.
Nice. And then do you have any of those coming up even though COVID?
We don't have any with COVID, which is why we were able to focus back on the app itself and release all the new features. But we would love to go out and start doing those events again as soon as we can.
I think it's such a good idea. I can't imagine. I'm like trying to like rack my brain and go back in time and think about if I've ever introduced anyone to my dog or have seen them interact with dogs and was like turned off by it or like put off by their interactions or like their unwillingness to be receptive of a dog. And I can't recall any specific event, and I'm just hoping that it's because the energy that I put out there is like dog lover or GTFO, you know, like if you don't love dogs, then don't even worry about trying to wine and dine me or anything like that.
GTFO.
I think that's a good idea. It's such a good way to start off rather than having to like address it later on. Like you were saying, like you might be in a relationship for 3 to 6 months before you realize this. And if it's such an important facet of your life, obviously your dogs are your children. And then that would be such a crummy way to have to end things for whatever reason, you know what I mean? So I think it's such an awesome idea.
The other piece is when you go out on the dates, if you have your dog with you, you've just got this different energy, this different vibe, right? You know, first of all, you know right away if it's the wrong guy, if he's not picking up dog poop, or, you know, like whatever your rules are there, but you just have this feeling, this more comfortable feeling, and you can bring that into meeting other relationships with you. I was actually going to ask, Rachel had copper on her season, right? And so I wonder if that played into just how amazing and approachable she was.
I never got to meet copper, unfortunately. Peter got to meet copper on their first group, on their first one-on-one, actually, the first week. But there was a time when we first left the mansion. Obviously, Rachel didn't get to bring her dog Copper with her, and we were in the airport. And so I got her like this plush dog neck pillow thing, and I gave it to her on my one-on-one date with her in Hilton Head, which was our first week away from the mansion. I was like, hey, I know you missed your dog. I'm sure it's not easy for you. So here's a dog plush neck pillow to hopefully like comfort you during these trying times.
That's really sweet.
But the fact that she was a dog person obviously was a big selling point as well, and I agree with what you're saying. If it's a, you know, you obviously want to be around dog people as much as possible if you are one yourself.
I've seen your Pappy videos too, him jumping across the seats in the van.
Oh, he's the man! I'm obsessed with Pappy. It's funny actually. Kaylin was just out of the house for a while, and we have this shrine to Pappy that we just put up where it's just like a bunch of pictures. There's one wall dedicated to a bunch of pictures of Pappy. It's hilarious.
I love it. And Jared, actually, the most recent video I saw of y'all was with Ethel.
Well, because we're at my in-law's house. So Ethel is my my in-law's dog. And then Lois is our dog. And Lois is here, too. So the problem is Lois has been here for so long that Lois is going to go back to L.A. and not be with Ethel. And they've been bonding for like 3.5 months. So I feel bad because they're going to be separated. And now they're like sisters. But that's okay. She'll come back to grandma's house and play with her cousin. Or her sister. I don't know what that relationship would be. But I think it's a great app. I think it's awesome. I think about all the times because I've had dogs all my life. And anytime somebody didn't like dogs, it was an immediate turnoff. So this is a pretty awesome app and a great idea. And I'm very excited for you. So everybody go check out Dig, of course, the dog person dating app. I felt like I had one more question for you. And now I can't.
I've got a question, Lee. How can I become an investor in the app? Because I think it's going to take off.
We can chat after, no problem.
Okay, Jared, I can't think of my question. I'm so mad at myself.
That wasn't your question too, Jared? Come on in.
No, I mean, hey, I'll invest. I'm always down for investing in anything related.
You guys are taking my piece of my pie away.
We'll invest. It'll be the Help I Suck at Dating investment.
There we go. I don't mind that.
And then also everybody go check out, you have an Instagram, right? For dog dig dates.
Dig dates, and all the dogs we feature on our Instagram are available for adoption from Louisiana area shelters.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So everybody go check out, at Dig Dates. That's where you can see the dog dates. That's what I was going to say. I think this is a great idea for COVID-19 dating as well, because if you meet somebody with a dog on an app and then you go to a public dog park, you know, you can wear masks, you're outside. It's good for social distancing. I think this is a great idea for not only the long term, but for our current situation where everybody's trying to figure out how do I date in the world of coronavirus. So I think you got a great product on your hand.
Absolutely. Stay 2 leash lengths apart. So, you know, you've got your 6 feet, right? And then absolutely, people are turning to their dogs during COVID like crazy. We're hearing across the country for the first time, shelters completely empty as people are fostering, turning to animals for comfort too. So absolutely, this is an amazing time to reach out and talk to other dog lovers.
Love it. I think it's fantastic.
Lee, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. And we'll talk about that investment opportunity, yeah?
Absolutely.
Sounds good. All right. See you later.
Thanks, guys.
All right, welcome back. That was Lee from Dig, and it sounds like a very, very interesting thing worth checking out. If you're single, you love dogs, you got a dog, be sure to check them out. We are going to get some emails, but Easton had an interesting inquiry that he wanted to lay upon us. East, what do you got for us, buddy?
Yeah, I wanted your take on this, you guys. Carson Daly and his wife, Siri, have said that they may never sleep together again. And they have done a thing that they call sleep divorcing. Cause I guess he suffers from sleep apnea. She suffers from insomnia. That's a horrible combination. No one's getting any sleep in that house. So they've made a decision that they're going to sleep in separate bedrooms, probably for the rest of their marriage. And I wanted your take on this because my wife and I have been flirting with doing this ourselves, and it's been very successful, actually, to our overall happiness. Do you think this is something that could work in your relationship, or do you need it? Do you guys have problems with that?
So interesting. Jared, what do you think?
We don't have problems with it, but I'm all for it. Didn't people used to sleep separately? Like, I remember watching I Love Lucy, and Lucy and Ricky slept in separate beds.
They did.
So, I don't know. I don't see anything wrong with it. Also, when did this sleeping in the same bed every night for the rest of your lives become like a thing? Who says you have to do that?
That's right. Who says? Who makes the rules?
Well, it's not even like being rebellious, but like I'm curious of how that all, like what the genesis of sleeping in the same bed was. Because when I think about it, sorry, Dean, but just when I think about it, like there's nothing wrong with sleeping in separate beds. It doesn't mean that I love Ashley any less. Plus, in the rare occasions where I do sleep in a separate bed, I've slept a couple nights because the bed here is very, you know, there just wasn't that big. So we slept in separate beds. I got a great night's rest. Sleep is very important for your health, for your immune system. And I was like, huh. Plus, like if you're for a relationship, I don't know. Sometimes it you know, distance makes the heart grow fonder. Sometimes it's nice to see Ashley in bed, you know, not every night, but like a nice, like, surprise.
I'm going to say, as the voice of reason, apparently on this podcast, I think it's pretty weird.
Wow.
I think that,
look at the caveman over here
with your significant other, extenuating circumstances aside, like sleep apnea, which I can kind of understand, you're kind of expected to be in the same room and same bed as your partner. And I say that as someone who is not a fan of conformity, not a fan of antiquated traditions, as Jared said, who decided what is the genesis of sleeping in the same bed as your partner for the rest of your life. But I don't know. I just think that it's just, that's like your time to like lay together. And I guess my experience with this. Okay, so Kaylin has this massive king bed, and I could literally be on my side of the bed, roll over, reach my arm across, and still not touch her. And there are times, like, we'll go to sleep cuddling each other, we'll wake up on opposite ends of the bed, which I guess is kind of the same thing. But there are also times where it's like I'll be out on the couch until like 12:30 in the morning, like, you know, watching a movie or playing a video game or something like that, and she'll be like, hey, like, come to bed, like, I need you to come to bed with me. Or I'll like not be feeling well, and so I'll go sleep out on the couch or something like that, and she doesn't really appreciate that very much. It's just like for us, and especially for her, it's like a comforting thing where it's like she needs, or she wants her partner to be next to her in the bed, you know what I mean? I guess. And listen, we've only been together for a year. Easton, Jared, you guys have been in your relationships much longer than we have been. Potentially, I guess I could see that fading at some point. I'm not saying it, I'm not discounting that all together, but it just seems like kind of like one of the cornerstones of a relationship to me.
The comfort would be the worst part for me as well. The comfort of not having her next to me. That is very nice. And that is a very underrated facet of sleeping in the same bed with someone. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, 100%. And like, I don't know. I always think, cause I don't know if I have sleep. I'm not diagnosed as sleep apnea, but I do, you know, some say I snore a little bit. And, I have to get up really early for work. I get up at 3:30 in the morning. And Allison likes to stay up late. And so, that sucks. So, you know, for us, it works, but, if those circumstances weren't there, I think we would probably be, sleeping in the same bed. You know, I like to think so anyway.
There was a moment the other night where, Kaylin and I were sleeping and it was like 3 a.m. and all of a sudden I woke up, like shocked because I had just gotten struck in the back, and apparently Kaylin in the middle of her slumber rolled over and just open fist stabbed my back as hard as she possibly could.
She stiff armed you?
She stiff armed me. She Heisman.
Give me the Heisman?
Yeah. And I rolled over and I was like, what are you doing? And she didn't respond because she was like, she just did it in her sleep by mistake. And that was the moment where I was like, maybe I should just like go sleep in the other room for the rest of the
day. All right. Well, so should we get to some emails before we, send off?
Let's do it. May I read these? I like reading things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love your reading voice.
All right. This is from Anonymous. They're a
AKA
very
Nick Vial.
Yeah. prolific listener of this podcast. My suck at dating issue is the fact that I'm 24 and I'm still a virgin. I'm a girl, by the way. It's something I'm super self-conscious about, and I worry that it will be a turnoff for any guy I try to date. Is that a turnoff for guys in their mid-20s? Also, advice on how early I should bring this up when I'm talking to someone. How on earth do I broach this subject? It's not because I'm saving myself for marriage or anything. I just haven't dated a lot since I've been focused on school and my career.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely not an issue, but it's definitely something that you should bring up with whomever you're interested in dating early, sooner rather than later. The sooner you bring it up, the more they'll be able to process it, the better decision you guys will be able to make for yourselves. But I don't think it's like that big of a deal.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's that big of a deal. So to Anonymous, my wife Ashley was very similar. She was a virgin till her late 20s, and she was not saving herself for marriage either. It just kind of never happened. So you should never be ashamed of this or feel uncomfortable in any way. It's very normal. I don't think it's that much of an issue at all. I don't think it's really a turnoff. And if it is a major turnoff for a guy, then that's probably not the guy for you anyway. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, I'm with Dean. I don't think it has to be, you know, brought up on the first date. I think it should be mentioned, you know, certainly before things start getting, intimate. But again, it just kind of broaches the situation when you feel comfortable, when you feel like the timing is right. But I would get out of your own head about it, because I certainly don't think it's a huge deal.
This is directed towards Dean, also from Anonymous, a different Anonymous, I'm assuming. I am much like Dean. My dad died when I was 15 and I was very young. It was sudden and unexpected. I didn't have the support I needed because I don't have very close family ties. My parents were in the military, so every three years we picked up and changed locations. Growing up like this and experiencing this trauma left me with no support system, and I never experienced what it was like to be vulnerable in relationships. I'm 27 now, and it's hard for me to open up myself to any more disappointment. How did Dean get to a place where he was able to open up and be vulnerable? How did he learn to trust when most people can't relate?
That's a tough question, Anonymous. Let's see. So her question is, how did I get to a place where I was able to open up and be vulnerable in relationships? And how did I learn how to trust when most people can't relate? So my biggest issue with dealing with loss at a young age was that last sentence of learning how to trust people when they can't relate. Because a lot of the people in my close circle, while they had good intentions, I never thought that I could fully lean on them because they hadn't walked a mile in my shoes, for lack of a better phrase. Like, they didn't really know what I'd been through. And so the shoulder that they're giving me to cry on or lean on, well, didn't really provide much more than just that, just as a shoulder, you know what I mean? And so I kind of stayed quiet about it for a long time. And I actually don't think I ever really broke out of my shell about it until my mid to late 20s. And I just think that whether you're dealing with loss or heartbreak or whatever it is, as individuals, you just kind of don't really begin to learn about yourself until your mid to late 20s anyways. Like, you know, the fact that my mom died, or had she not died, I don't think that I would have really came into my own until my late 20s, as I have, in my opinion. I mean, maybe it would have, obviously everything would have been different, but I think you just kind of need to give it time. And then her other question was, how did I get to a place where I was able to open up and be vulnerable in relationships? And that's like something obviously that I'm still working on. Vulnerability is not one of my strong suits. I would say within the past year or two, it's definitely improved substantially. But I still am light years away from being at a place where I would say that I'm open and vulnerable about all things. I'm like honest and I'm communicative, but I think that doesn't necessarily mean that I am vulnerable. It's funny actually, when we were filming Paradise this past year, I had left obviously, and I came back, and I was talking to one of the producers, one of my good friends who was one of the producers for the show. And he was, we were talking and he was like saying something along the lines of how I run away from everything. And I've always run away from everything. And I literally bought a van so I could also physically run away from people as well. And I was like, yeah, you're making a lot of good points. And I'm really glad that I came back here to kind of confront those shortcomings and those fears, and at least be a little bit vulnerable. And I'm sure, you know, if you brought Kaylin in here now and we asked her the same question, she would say something similar, to where the vulnerability is there and it's growing, but it's still like, I'm sure that she would sometimes want more of that out of me. So it just, it comes with age, it comes with time. The fact that people might not understand where you're coming from because they can't relate is a tricky one, because I've like dated people in the past that come from these well-to-do families and never really had a struggle for much in their lives. And I would never really be able to talk to them with full honesty because they just wouldn't really get it. And I think that there is a way to deal with that, a way that I was never really able to figure out. But it's nice to be able to like, not like commiserate, but to speak with people that have dealt with similar things to kind of empathize with you, speak from their experiences, and you're able to like learn from each other's missteps sort of thing. But there are people out there that want to help but are just not able to because they haven't really had to deal with much adversity themselves. So that's kind of a long-winded answer to that. I hope that helps, but it might not.
It's a great answer.
Yeah.
Thanks. So yeah, time and age. That's what I say succinctly.
Thank you for opening up, Dean.
Yeah,
this next one.
Right now.
Let's do one more. This is from Sammy. I was just wondering when I should introduce my boyfriend to my family. I have been seeing my boyfriend for 8 months and we're both in our mid-20s. I've been in quarantine with my family and we FaceTime and text all the time. Should I let my family meet him over FaceTime or should I wait until this quarantine thing is over?
Jared, what do you think?
I mean, I think, you know, COVID aside, it would be the right time for him to meet the fam. You know, you guys have been boyfriend girlfriend for 8 months, you're both in your mid-20s. You know, 8 months is a pretty long time to date someone. I think that's pretty fair to meet the family at that point. Obviously quarantine, self-isolating, social distancing changes the game a little bit depending on how old your parents are. So I guess it's just up to everybody involved on how comfortable they are with meeting someone face-to-face. If not, sure, meet them over FaceTime. Why not? I don't know. I guess that's a good question. Should you wait until they meet him in person or should you meet him over FaceTime? Because would FaceTime be awkward? Because you know how sometimes there's like a delay or there's bad connection and then it just becomes awkward. And it's not a bad first meeting, but it's just kind of meaningless a little bit because you can't really, it's just not like emotional. I don't know how to describe it.
I think the pro to meeting someone's family via FaceTime for the first time is, all she has to do is be like, hey, this is the guy I've been talking to. This is my boyfriend. This is the guy I've been dating. Say hi. Hi. All right. See you later. Like, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. It's more a matter of like a pleasantry to be like, okay, this is who he is. He's a real person. These are my family. They're real people too. All right. You guys will meet each other one day, but for now, this will have to do. Like, I think that's kind of the best way to do it. But 8 months, like Jared said, is an ample amount of time to be introduced to someone's family. I still actually haven't met Kaylin's mother or her sister, but I've spent a good amount of time with her grandparents and her uncle out in Las Vegas. A lot of this is kind of proximity, similar to their situation as well. But 8 months, I'd say that's almost like the perfect amount of time to be introduced to someone's family.
Yeah, because then you guys are in a serious relationship then if you've been dating exclusively for 8 months.
There was not a mistake, but when I was younger and I was dating someone, I introduced her to my father after like a month or two. He was just like in town or something. And I was like, yeah, let's all just go and get dinner together. And then a month after that, she said something along the lines of, well, you introduced me to your father because I thought you were much more serious about this. And I was like,
oh,
I introduced you to my father because I just, you know, he was in town and we were together and I figured it'd be a fun thing for us to go and do all together. So there's definitely some implications of like, once you introduce someone to the family, it's like, okay, things are getting a little bit more serious or they're progressing past just a casual fling and into like a serious boyfriend or girlfriend, I think.
No, I've done the same thing before. And like, I was with you, Dean, where I wasn't thinking, like, I don't think meeting the family, or at least at that point, was as big of a deal as people made it out to be. But I should have put more weight on the situation than I did. And I guess that's, you know, that's especially like you look at something like Bachelor, there is a lot of weight to that moment where, you know, the final four get to meet the families and then, you know, you bring the families into it. But I don't know. But I would say, yeah, with Dean, if it is FaceTime, make it a quick hello, hi. Don't make it a big thing over FaceTime because I just don't feel like it'll really, it won't go badly, but it probably just won't go as well.
How are you? Where are you from? Where do you work? Yeah. What do you do for a living?
I know. I just like question and answer. All right, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. Big thank you to Lee Isaacson for joining us. Make sure you check out her brand new dating app called Dig, which is, of course, a dating app all about dogs, which is makes it the greatest dating app there ever was. You can download that today. You can also follow Dig Dates, which shows different dates with dogs and also dogs that are available for adoption. I think she said in the New Orleans area. Big thank you to Easton for joining us after like taking a hiatus because he's too busy with scrubbing in. I get it. It's cool. Whatever.
Wow.
We're plan B. No response. thank you to Dean for being an amazing human being for raising over $55,000, you said?
Yeah, baby.
For charity. Incredible. And it took balls to shave your hair. So good job. Because I know a lot of people wouldn't have done it. A lot of people would have said, oh, you paid. Good job. I'll do something else. And you shave your head. And that's pretty awesome.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Don't forget to thank Anonymous, and Sammy as well for emailing us. Great questions today. Be sure to keep emailing us, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. We want to keep hearing from you guys, all your questions, all your concerns, all your feedback, just whatever you got, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com.
And tell us some dating stories in COVID. If you guys are single out there and you've had any experiences during this current quarantine of dating, whether that be virtual or you guys have met up during a social distance dating, we'd love to hear it because I'm very curious because obviously Dean and myself are, and Easton and Mark are all, you know, in relationships or married. So please, we'd love to hear your single stories right now because I am very curious about what's going on in the world because I was reading an article in the New York Post about the New York Health Department, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, came out with like certain advice for people who are single right there about like having kinkier sex, like trying different positions and wearing masks because hopefully that will help stop the spread of COVID. So it's pretty interesting. So please email us, DM us on Instagram, follow us again, Help I Suck at Dating. Give us a 5-star review, please, because we really appreciate it. And again, like Dean always says, you can roast us. You can call us whatever you want. As long as you give us 5 stars, I don't really give a shit. And that's it.
I agree. Yeah, thanks to everyone. We'll see you next week where maybe we'll suck just a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.